And welcome back to episode 3 of the Cricket Stats Scholar podcast. I'm your host, Cricket Stats Scholar, aka Dane, and with me as ever is Guy Walker. G'day, mate. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, mate. Pleasure to be back.
All right. So today we divert from the rising stars and congestion in Australia's batting order to the Big Bash League, the 2020/21 version of it, or BBL 10 as it'll be called. I'm excited just to get it going, eh? Just grateful that the tournament's back and that we managed to get it happening this year.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Like even the hubs and that sort of stuff now, it feels like, yeah, it just creeps up on you, Big Bash, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And then some would argue that it hangs around longer than it needs to, but I love it, mate. Having a cricket match, at least one cricket match on every day through December is just A-okay with me.
It's pretty handy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the best. All right, so before we dive into squad analysis or previous winners or indeed the top performers of all time, I'm going to hit you straight up with your pick to win and your dark horse. Or would you rather go through the squadrons?
Up to you, mate. I'm happy to do either. How do you want to go with it?
Yeah, no, I think let's go gut instinct. So your pick to win and your dark horse.
So I had a quick look last night and this morning at the teams, and
excellent.
They are quite different just because of COVID and international travel and stuff like that. But going through the teams, the most balanced and X-factor team I found by a long way is probably the Scorchers.
Right, excellent. Okay. Now, yeah, I haven't looked too much into them, so that's very cool.
So them, and then my dark horse and the team that I was going to have as my pick, but I think their batting is probably too heavy and their bowling is a little bit underdone, is the Hurricanes.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. Excellent. I'm just having a look at them now. Good shouts. Yeah. All right. Well,
what about you, Dane? Who are you going?
I like the Melbourne Stars. I like sort of what they've done with it's the Melbourne Renegades. I'm just having a look through. Hang on a second, that's not right. It is Melbourne Stars, my apologies. So I'll run you through why as we delve into the squads. And my dark horse is the Perth Scorchers. Similar to your vein there, but I suppose it feels categorically wrong to call the Scorchers dark horses because they're such an institution in Big Bash.
I know.
But I'm a Brisbane Heat fan by design. I don't think we'll even climb into the finals. I think we'll do better than last year. But do you see anyone that might struggle significantly this season, or
it's always hard in 2020, isn't it? Because it's just like if you might have some really, really good players that might just struggle and be out of form, or you might have one player that literally carries you through the tournament, like a Chris Lynn possibly. But there's a couple That's of teams great. That I thought yeah. were a little bit weak, and that was probably my old mob in the Renegades, just because I just think that probably their internationals aren't as good as they have been in the past. Gotcha. Even though, they've still got some amazing players, obviously, like Finch, and even players coming up like Sam Harper and Fraser McGurk. There's a lot of good players there.
I just think
they're maybe not as strong as... See, if I... And that's why I was saying about the Hobart Hurricanes, is they're my dark horse, but they've probably got too many batters. Is that you've got Pete Hanscom, Colin Ingram, Will Jacks, who's a seriously good bat in England, Caleb Jewell, who's been opening, Dawood Malan, who's the best T20 batter in the world at the moment, Ben McDermott, probably one of the best Big Bash batters at the moment, and then you've got Darcy Short, Tim Payne, Matt Wade, Mac Wright. Like, there's just too many batters.
It is jammed. I mean, it's great to have such depth, but at the end of the day, you only need 6-7 of them.
Exactly. That so,
jammed.
Yeah. It is, it's it. Oh, I think your old mob, the Heat, I think they, even though they're probably not as strong as they have been in the past, I think players like Maxi Bryan, Sammy Hazlett, Dan Lawrence is a freak.
Yes, he's a very good player.
Speaking to Chris Lynn about what the structure's like there, is he said that they've almost been that hit and win team, is that when they win big. When they lose, they lose big. And I think they're starting to hit their straps and understand now what they need to do to win games.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, the standard deviation between what the Heat is capable of, both in the bad and good, it has been for the longest time significant. They'll either win big or lose big by a ridiculous amount, which is it's frustrating because you don't know which side's going to turn up on the day. And you'd rather they were at least in it with a chance in every match instead of the occasional blowout and then heaps of big losses. But yeah, there's some exciting talent on display across the eight teams. So I suppose we'll just go through. I'll call out some of the hot picks for each squad and you can give some insight into them.
Yep.
So Adelaide Strikers, they've called in Danny Briggs, the left-arm spinner from England.
Yeah.
He's played a bit of white ball. His career never quite got going at international level. He's a very tidy cricketer.
He is.
And he'll support Rashid Khan. So that's a bit of a spin twins combo. How do you think Briggs will go coming down to Oz?
I personally think he's going to do really well. From seeing him play county cricket for the last 3 or 4 years, especially in white ball, he's a star in the white ball T20 stuff. He knows his game. Yeah. And I almost think that the Strikers, nowadays what a lot of big bash teams is doing is they're paying a lot of money for things like Moneyball and that sort of stuff, and they're seeing all this different data. And the data's actually come back to say that the wicketkeeper actually doesn't play a big role at all. So a lot of teams now, that's why you'll see blokes like Pete Hanscom might keep in some spaces and that sort of stuff. And another thing that's come back is obviously spinners through the middle overs do a great job. So imagine that, through the middle overs, you've got two world-class spinners in Rashid and Danny Briggs. Is that if you can limit sides, then they might go a long way. And then they've got Liam O'Connor as well, so they've gone real spin.
I love lockers, that's a great point, though, and it's great to see so much Moneyball data coming through. We could very well see Briggs and Khan bowl overs 7 through 14, like four apiece, and that could be pretty arresting if they're both on song that day.
Well, yeah, and then they've also got the option as well to maybe even give the new ball to Danny Briggs because he does it a bit in county cricket. And you've also actually there got Trav Head, who he used to open the bowling for the Strikers a hell of a lot. So if they can sneak a couple of overs in the power plays with a Trav Head or even a Matty Short and then bowl Rashid and Danny Briggs to the middle, I think they're going to be a hard team to score against.
Absolutely, and the big Renshaw moves down. He had a bit of success last season with the Tweakers. So I'd say he's
calling himself an all-rounder now.
So that was a heartbreaking loss, but good on him. I'm sure he got a cracking deal out of it. And he's got gears, that boy. So I'll just run through the remainder of the squad and we'll talk a bit about some of the other names that pop out. So Danny Briggs from England, Wes Yeager, Alex Carey, fantastic, Harry Conway, Travi Head, Spencer Johnson, Rashid Khan, indeed, Michael Nessa, Harry Nielsen, who I am a big fan of, Liam O'Connor, Renshaw, Phil Salt, he returns. I think he'll be even better this time. Liam Scott, Matty Short, who I rate very highly, and Peter Siddle, Valente, Cameron, Jake Weatherall, Dan Worrell, and Johnny Wells. So, pretty solid squad, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think there's a lot of names on paper there that actually that aren't superstars, but they do their role well. And the main one is Jono Wells. He's the most underrated cricketer in the country.
I'd have had him in the team for Australia since the last Big Bash and ahead of the World Cup. I absolutely love him. He's a little finisher and a brilliant little player. And he'd be an absolute Moneyball pick for sure.
Oh, imagine, like, you're guaranteed he'll bat five, you're guaranteed that he'll get 40 off 35 for you. He'll get 40 off 30 or 50 off 30. He's just so consistent.
bats to a scenario as well. I love that.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of Cam Valente. He's sort of still sort of feeling his way out as to whether he's a batting all-rounder or bowling all-rounder, but he has a knack for hitting a couple of big bombs and taking a wicket when they need it, and I like that. I also really like Matt Short. He's a giant at the crease, and he can hit a long ball.
We all played Aussie Under-19s together, and they've just started to hit their peak now, and I think you're right. Is that Cam Valente, he bowls a lot of off-pace balls, and now he keeps improving his batting. Is that he can be that batter at number 7 or 8 and bowl your 4 overs. And then you've got Matty Short, that he can open the bowling for you now in Big Bash, and he can also bat wherever you want him to. I think they probably messed around with his position last year a little bit because he wasn't scoring enough runs. But I think he's now at that stage of his career where he's experienced, and you can probably expect a breakout year from him this year.
I would hope so. He's certainly got all the talent. And just to quickly wrap up the Adelaide Strikers, out of the squad that was from last year is Jake Lehman. Billy Stanlake moves across to the Stars. Cam White retired, and Nick Winter to the Hurricanes. So, I think they've roughly covered those losses. But under the helm of Jason Gillespie, they're always going to operate as best as possible because he's a fantastic coach. So, be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah, I think their ins have sort of outweighed their probably outs. They've probably had a better recruiting season than a lot of other teams as well. So,
yeah, they've always done very well. And, you know, Peter Siddle has sort of reinvented himself at T20.
Sure has. Yeah.
Absolute jet at that level. All right, down to my boys, the Brisbane Heat. Last season, 7th. Last season, Adelaide made it to the knockout but were gunned down. Coached by Daz Lehman. So a squad of Xavier Bartlett, James Baisley, Maxi Bryant, Joe Burns, Tom Cooper, Lewis Gregory, Sam Haslett, Matt Kuhneman, Marnus, Benny Lachlan, Dan Lawrence, Chris Lynn, Simon Malenko, Mornay Morkel, Jimmy Pearson, Lockie Pfeffer, Mujib Ur-Rahman, Stekety, Connor Sully, Schweppo, Jack Wildermuth, Matt Willens, and Jack Wood. There's a lot of names there. And you'd be doing well to recall all of them. But you mentioned before Maxi Bryant. He didn't have his best season last season, but I think he'll be back with a force. What do you think of him?
When I spoke to Chris Lynn in my podcast a couple of months ago, is that we spoke about Maxi, and Chris Lynn said he had the second year blues. Is that so? First year teams don't know where to bowl to you. You do really well. Your second year teams start to work you out. They know where you score. Moneyball data comes in where you score.
Yeah.
They take that away from you, and then you struggle because they know what to do. So I think he will get past that. I think he's a quality young player, and like I said before, I think the Brisbane Heat are a team that could finish 8th or they could win it. Like, it just, their top three could take a game away from you. Like, and people haven't seen Dan Lawrence yet. He is like a clone of Tom Banton, is how good he is and what kind of player he's like.
Very exciting. And obviously, Tommy Banton opting out of the series, just having a little bit of issue with living in the bubble for so long. And we wish him all the best, of course. But great opportunity for Dan Lawrence. Also Lewis Gregory from England as well. Exciting all-round talent. For me personally, it's good to see Simon Malenko come back to his home state. He can produce some dynamic performances, to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a bit like a John O. Wells, isn't he? He's an overachiever for what people give him credit for.
100%. And it's good to see Jack Wood, the young left arm spinner, make it into the squadron. I'd love to see him get a run.
Yeah.
My younger brother, Cody, has had a run with him through juniors and whatnot. And big Mornay Morkel.
As a Australian player.
Yeah, imagine that. That's some life hacking going on there.
Yep.
So we will adopt him as one of our own up here in Queensland. We'll take what we can get in the Big Bash these days. Also, Jimmy Pearson, he's come a long way in his batting, and even in very, very recent history. So I look forward to that. And I also look forward to Marnus when possible, trying to stamp some runs out. I think he's got an average of about 11 in T20 cricket at the moment. And we know for a fact that he's better than that.
But even a blocker, Benny Lachlan, like, I think even though he's just a T20 specialist, isn't it? And then I think they've also gone quite heavy on the spinners again. So you got, if they play Tom Cooper, he'll bowl. If they play Matty Kuhneman, he'll bowl. Then you've got, obviously, Sweppo will play. Jack Wood. And then you've got Majeeb. He'll play as well. Yeah. So they've gone, I think teams are starting to go a little bit more spin-based.
Absolutely. And I think the data would back that. And I think that's why we're seeing that move. Spinners are tough, especially good ones.
Yep.
So, how will we replace Renshaw, the spinner, though? Irreplaceable.
Yeah, he was your opening bowler you could rely on.
That's right. And just to quickly finish up with the Heat. So out of the squad from last year, Ben Cutting off to Sydney Thunder, which I'm actually really sad about, but good luck to him. Joshy Layla goes to Renegades. Zahir Khan to the Stars, Renshaw to the Strikers, Pattinson to the Renegades, your old mob. Jackie Prestwich indeed also goes to the Renegades, which is a shame personally because he was starting to come along.
Yeah.
Avery de Villiers not coming back this year, Tommy Banton opting out, and Cam Gannon over to the Scorchers completing his full transition to WA. So some strong players in there, but I'm interested to see how the internationals fare, and also our adoptive son, Mornay Morkel.
The Aussie superstar now. It'd be really, really interesting to see how he goes, because a bloke who bowls fast and real bouncy, especially on the Gabba, don't always do that well. So it'd be really, really interesting to see how he goes.
He's going to have to settle early. I think a player as good as Steckerty, was pretty much his season was done after two or three games last season because he got pinged. And Morkel's even taller and faster than him. So as long as Mornay can get it in the right areas, great. But if not, it could be an expensive trip. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Over to the Hobart Hurricanes. Last season, they made it through to the Eliminator. They're coached by Adam Griffith, who has big raps on him. What I'll do is I'll post a link to this article that we're looking at so that people can look at the squads for themselves instead of rattling off so many players. Who stands out in this squadron for you? There's some big names.
Oh, I think the main one, mate, is Dawood Malan. Anyone that hasn't seen his series against South Africa, do yourself a favour and watch his highlights. I think the last game he got 99 not out off about 40 balls. He's hitting the ball better than anyone I've seen in the last year. Like, that's what I'm saying about just their batting lineup is unbelievable. Like, you've got Colin Ingram, who's a gun. Petey Hanscom, they've got over. Benny McDermott, geez, like that's he's a gun in T20 cricket. Then you got Wadey, Darcy Short. Like, where do you, I don't think you can bat them all. They all can't play.
No, because a lot of them are sort of vying for similar spots.
Yeah.
Colin Ingram's done some incredible things for the Strikers as well. It's very bat heavy.
Even Will Jacks, he's an international and he's a batter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's congested. I mean, I don't think old Payne, he probably won't be available for much of it anyway, but I don't think he steps on. You've got Bernie Mac and Wadey, both of whom can take the gloves and do a more than serviceable job. There's so much congestion.
Maybe they just play 11 batters and just bowl 20 overs a part-time. I don't know.
Matt Wade getting up to 140.
Yeah, he opens the bowling.
You got Darcy. I mean, crazier things have happened, I suppose. But
they have to play, obviously, Scotty Boland, Nathan Ellis, James Faulkner. Yeah. I don't know. And then you've also got David Moody in there, and you've got to play Lamichani. They've got Lamichani this year, so... Yeah. I don't know, mate. Like, you can't play all them batters. So it'd be really, they'll have to probably keep with the Colin Ingram, I'm guessing, or Peter Handscomb. Yeah. Maybe that's why they got Pete over, because they want him to keep and bat.
Oh, goodness me. They've got Pete as well. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm looking at so many names popping out at me. I didn't even see PSP Handscomb. He's an incredible player. He's had some big tournaments. Riley Meredith, always exciting. Kemo Paul as well.
Yep.
Yeah, great to see Will Parker down there as well, young leg spinner.
Yeah, yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, lots of excitement in the Canes.
They are the X factor, aren't they?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think since I sort of decided that I couldn't rightly call Perth dark horses, because it just doesn't work like that. They've got so many trophies and they've got such a strong squad. I reckon I'm with you. The Canes are a great dark horse.
I think we might see our first ever 300 score in a T20 game with their batting lineup.
Yeah, especially down at their home ground. Yeah, there's some real chances. And just to wrap that section up, the people that bow out of the Canes' squad from last season are Georgie Bailey, Jared Freeman, the young spinner, Simon Malenko up to heat, as we mentioned, David Miller, Kays Ahmed, Tommy Rogers off to the Sixers, Clive Rose, which breaks my heart. I'd love to see him again. And Aaron Summers. That in a similar vein to the selection headache we've discussed about the Australian top order as we move into the India series, they're going to have similar problems, I think.
They'll have a few headaches, I think.
Oh, gee whiz. Right. Melbourne Renegades, so your old lot, last season finished eighth, coached by Maxi Michael Klinger. I'll let you sort of open the account here. How do you feel about their squad?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Just because I think they probably don't have the overseas players like they've had in previous years. But saying that, they've probably always been the lesser Melbourne side. The Stars have always had the star-struck side. And you look at the Renegades a couple of years ago, they won it. So it doesn't...
Indeed.
I guess it just shows you that you don't need every superstar in the world. They've just got to be playing. You've got to have a team that plays their role and knows what to do, I guess. And players like Dan Christian and stuff sort of helped him in that win, didn't they? But I think there's some real excitement. I think there's like Fraser McGurk, Sammy Harper, Mackenzie Harvey. There's a lot of young players that are going to get a good opportunity, and they are exciting players. They're just not the household names that you're probably going to hear in most top threes.
Yeah, not quite yet, but particularly Sammy Harper.
Yeah,
the pocket dynamo. We were watching him open up the batting not so long ago, and my old man was saying, "Oh, geez, he's a little fella, he must be the one that works it around." And I sort of scoffed a little and said, just watch an over or two. And he's put one 20 rows back at long on at the MCG. And, you know, he's a good little keeper too. Son of Laurie, isn't he?
Yep, Peter, and then he's Uncle's Laurie. So they're
Uncle Laurie.
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal family. But yeah, you're right. Sammy, he's just a dynamo, isn't he? He's
incredible.
He's just got talent, as much talent as you possibly could have. And it's just, and he's got out of concussion now and starting to move on. So you never know, mate. If he has a good year opening up the batting for the Renegades, you could even say that he's probably second behind Carey at the moment if he has a good season.
For sure. That second in line spot is wide open, and he's done some very good things with gloves and bat. I totally go along with that. Another one that catches my eye is Jake Fraser McGurk, who had a sort of an exciting debut last season, and does a bit of both, doesn't he? From what I can gather,
he's more of a batter, but he's just. Right. Like a dynamo as well, mate. He's just full of confidence. From what I've heard from some of the boys, he's just full of confidence, backs himself in, and no fear. So, yeah, there's a couple of guys on that side. And one that I'm really interested to see is is Benny Howe. For people that watch county cricket, he's almost like a clone of Ben Lachlan. So Benny Howe, he'll run in and he'll bowl six different change ups and he'll bowl six different slower balls. So on these wickets in Australia, I'm really interested to see how he goes, because in England they're obviously a little bit more sticky and the wickets aren't as fast. But if he tries to bowl that on the Gabba, he's going to have to bowl extremely well.
Yeah. So Benny Howe's an interesting case. He's born in Bordeaux in France. He's 32 years old. And he holds a first-class batting average of 27.5, but only 96 wickets in 86 matches. But his T20 stats are incredible. So 121 matches, 132 poles at 19.3 at a tick under 7 and over. Also manages to hold a 23 batting average, scoring at 125 strike rate. So this is a really cool pick. I was surprised, but also pleasantly surprised to see him.
I think that's a heavily Maxi Klinger got him over, both Gloucestershire teammates, and he must have obviously impressed Maxi a fair bit to drag him over.
So this is going to be lots of fun, and Mohammad Nabi has been excellent for them with bat and ball for a long time. Like you said, probably lacking in some of the big names internationally, but I think they've made some good, well-informed decisions in counter to that.
I think it's just a team full of youth, isn't it? A exciting youth.
And I would say, irrespective of sort of how this season goes, as long as they can keep that nucleus of youth in, you know, your Fraser McGurks, your Harpers, your Harrys. Because Marcus Harris, he's a bit older, obviously, but he's pretty good at T20, actually. He's got a good array of shots and beautiful tech. So, yeah, I like the side. Just missing one or two massive names. But, yeah, I wish them well.
Yeah, I think you're right.
To wrap up, so they lose Dan Christian to the Sixers. That's a big loss. He's a stalwart.
I think so. He just knows 2020 back to front. He's just so experienced.
Deep experience, yeah. Tommy Cooper to the Strikers. So that's a loss. He's a good player, Tommy Cooper. Jackie Wildermuth, he returns home to Brisbane Heat, which I'm excited about. Harry Gurney, Richard Gleeson, Joe Menny, Samit Patel, Andrew Fekete, Tom Andrews, Braden Stepien, and Nathan McSweeney all cast out without being signed up elsewhere. So, over to, I suppose, my pick in the Melbourne Stars. So, runners-up last season, coached by David Hussey.
The Hoodoo team, they just can't win, can they?
No. You're absolutely right. It's incredible.
But I think the obvious ones are like the big Stoin, if he can keep going, and they've got some pretty good ins as well. And we a name that really sticks out to me there, and probably one that's not so familiar with a lot of people in Australia, is we played in our World Cup quarterfinal, we bowled out the West Indies for 200, and Nicholas Porran got 150 of them.
He is something else.
And he is a pretty good player. So I'll be really interested to see how he goes.
Absolutely. And I know you don't like the spotlight on you, but you have played for the Melbourne Renegades and you've played for Australia under-19s and you've played against quite a lot of these people that we're rattling off. And I suppose at that age, with Puran hitting three quarters of the team total, What do you think when you're bowling against something like that? Do you think this guy's going to be something? Like, did he stand out in that tournament as exceptional, even amidst all of the quality on display across all the countries?
Yeah, it is a really good question, because I think you're right. Is that some players, to be honest, some players you look at and you go, geez, I didn't think he would play international cricket here. But some people like Poor and you go, when you're playing against him at that time, you go, this guy's going to be something special. I can remember the first ball I came back on, they were like 3 for 50 after myself and Billy Stanlake opened up the bowling, and I came back on for my first ball and he just literally lofted me down the ground and went for 106 metres. And I was just like, All right. Yep. No worries. That's a pretty good shot. And then he went on to get 150. But you could just tell, like, he's just one of them players out of that tournament. It was probably him, Sanju Samson, and Kagiso Rabada. They were the three that you could just tell that, all right, these blokes are going to be pretty special.
Absolutely. KG stood out like a sore thumb. He's bowling absolute wheels. But yeah, Sanju Samson's another. I think they're spiritually linked as players in that just the way in which they score their runs, like they can score so rapidly from the outset.
Just looks effortless, doesn't it?
Oh, they're incredible. So yeah, I was absolutely thrilled. I think me and my brother, that's a big part of why we want the Stars to do well. I suppose it's more of a will than a deduction that they'll do well, because if they do well, it's likely going to be down to Pooran. And if Pooran performs, then everyone's going to be in for a treat except for the bowlers.
Exactly, mate. And I think they've just got... I think they're a little bit of a dark horse as well, and like they're your top selection in the fact that they've got Stornis, they've got Pooran, they've got Glenn Maxwell, they've got blokes there, at, like we were saying at the start, that can just win you games off their own bat. So I think if you see the Melbourne Stars win it or go very close, them three will have very, very good tournaments. And if don't have such good tournaments, I reckon it could go the other way.
That's right. Like Madison is also... you know, he's got X factor. I like that they have Zamps as well. I do like Zahir Khan from Afghanistan. I thought he played really well for the Heat.
Especially bowling on the Gabba.
Yeah, that's right. That's a tough assignment, especially for a young man. Sort of first foray into domestic cricket in Australia. Yeah, and just quickly calling back to Pooran, he's only quite slight as well, in you know, given how far he can hit the ball. So
he's not big. Yeah, that's for sure. No,
him and Sammy Harper, little dynamos. Like he's an incredible talent. And yeah, good to see Bukowski into the squad as well. I'd like to see him.
Yeah,
flesh out his.
And Big Billy, grid. I think Big Bill, I think he might be a bit of a handful bowling on the MCG because it's a little bit different from bowling on Adelaide Oval every second game.
That's exactly right, mate. And last season wasn't his best, but you know, there's reason for that. 50% of your home games are on an actual highway, you know, and he's wheels, so it's gonna go as in short square boundaries. So when you're 9 foot tall and bowling 150K and you've got 60-meter pickets on a highway, you're going to have a bad time unless you're bowling on a handkerchief every ball. So, yeah, look, I think he'll bounce back and I rate him highly as a T20 player. And he's got good numbers for Australia as well. So, yeah. So plenty of excitement in there. But I'm not seeing – I thought Bairstow was coming. Is that not happening?
Yeah, I thought he was as well. Maybe they just don't have that in there at the moment. Because I was going to say, it looks a little bit... it doesn't look as good on paper. But yeah, if he's on paper, which I think he definitely is coming, I think this article just must have missed him.
Yeah. Okay, well, if Bairstow comes, I think... Yeah, if Bairstow comes in, that's going to be pretty handy as well.
I forgot about that.
Just to round out the... goodness me, he's incredible.
Yeah.
Just to round out the Stars, Pete Hanscom goes south to the Hurricanes. Danny Worrell to the Strikers. Harris Rauf, he didn't get anywhere, so that must be bubble related. He's incredible.
I think he might actually have COVID, but I know that they've got a series Pakistan. I think he's been chosen in their series.
Oh, okay, sure. International commitments.
Yep.
But
yep.
Boy, oh boy, did he
set the house on fire, didn't he?
Goodness me. And Lamashane down to the Hurricanes or Lamashani. All right, down to the Perth Scorchers. Came sixth last season, coached by Adam Voges. Now, their dynasty, let me just total it up. One, two, three. Three wins. One, two. Three wins and two runners-up in 9 starts at the BBL. And just an absolute dynasty. So, a lot of... what got Justin Langer into the Oz coaching must have surely come from his efforts as the Scorchers BBL coach.
It's amazing, isn't it, how consistent they were, because it's such an inconsistent game, and it's just how they won so much is just amazing. And looking at their team again, like I said, I think they're my pick. I just think names just jump off the board to me there. Like,
especially
Jason Roy. My goodness, if he gets going on in Perth, that could be interesting. Joe Clark, absolute freak. Liam Livingston, absolute freak. Jai Richardson, bowls gas. Fawad Ahmed, I think, is a massive. Again, I think he's very underrated. I think. I'm pretty sure 2 years in a row he was the lowest economy of any Big Bash bowler a couple of years ago. Yeah. That's massive. Then you got Cameron Green in there, Jolly Paris, if he can get back right, Ashton Turner, Mitch Marsh. I just think there's just so much there that jumps out at you.
Yeah. Is it too late to change my pick for the win? No, I'll stick with me stars, but you're right. Going over this again, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, Ashton Agar has come so far as a T20 spinner. He's got an excellent international record for Australia.
So I didn't even mention him.
He's a great little floater. Jason Behrendorf's a superb pacer.
You've even got Andrew Tai in there, who's an Australian T20 bowler.
Absolutely. AJ Tai, man. He lots of variation and an excellent record at domestic. Jolly Paris, the big left armer. Yeah, lots to like here. I love Colin Munro as well.
Yeah, he's a serious player. Actually, I think out of any team, their ins compared to their outs are extraordinary, how they've got four amazing players in and got rid of some players that probably didn't fit into their squad.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about that now. So they lost Tim David to the Hurricanes. Now, I love Tim David because he's got these crazy stats, and I think he's an international cricketer.
Holland?
I think something like that. Let me just pull it up. But he's not the profile of some of the people they've got in his stead. He's playing Singapore.
Singapore, that's so it.
So, you know, he's got 667 domestic T20 runs with a strike rate of 154. Dabbles with bowling. But, Liam Guthrie, Nick Hobson, Chris Jordan, Jaron Morgan, Mornay Morkel, like, they're all solid players, but some of the people they've got in, like, Munro opens for NZ in T20, and they're an incredible short format side. Livingston comes back. Jason Roy.
Their opening partnership is probably going to be Jason Roy and Liam Livingston, probably the two most explosive English T20 batters outside of Dawid Malan.
Yeah, and with the potential there is ridiculous. Then Joe Clark, he's got gears, trust in that fact, but he could be the undercard to that, and that is wrong terminology, but he could be the guy that ticks it along while the Hurricane batsmen are going, and then he can finish strong as well. It's nice to have some different roles, because if you go out with six blasters and they all fail, you're out for 40. But Ashton Turner, like, irresistible. He can come in and hit bombs from the start.
But even the forgotten man there as well, Dano. We've got the forgotten man at the moment in Mitch Marsh.
Yeah, that's right.
If he consistently plays, and doesn't play for Australia and gets a full crack at playing Scorchers all year in this tournament, is that who knows what he could do?
Oh, he's incredible. And look, there's a lot of opinion, and I think a lot of that opinion about him comes from his test performances, which are under his ability at the moment. But his white ball stats for Australia are excellent, and they're even better at domestic level. He's awesome. Big unit, hits bombs, takes wickets, like bucket hands. I want to just draw your attention to something about Colin Munro that not everyone might know. And it's got to be one of the most absurd and obscene things I've ever heard of statistically. So he played 48 first-class matches, so Plunkett Shield and possibly a little bit of County. It looks like Worcestershire. So he hit 3,611 first-class runs at an excellent average of 51.6. A high score of 281, 1,300. This is the bit. It's ridiculous. So first-class strike rate, so this is runs per 100 balls. at 4-day cricket is 98.8.
Fair to say, he gets on with it.
It's, I've never seen anything like Sehwag and Gilly are freaks, and Afridi is an obvious maniac, and they all had test strike rates in the, and I know that test and first class is different, but they had strike rates in the early 80s and were considered absolute loons. He's basically going out and averaging to score at a tick under six and over.
And you know what's even more impressive about that is that if you look at the some of the wickets that are in New Zealand, they're pretty much like you walk out into a paddock, you see grass, and that's a wicket. That's pretty much what it's like.
We saw the other day, I put up the photo that the Black Caps Twitter shared, and a lot of the jokes on the comments were saying, like, I'm glad they painted lines on because otherwise the umpires wouldn't have known where to stick the stumps. He's an incredible hitter as well, lots of X factor. So I'm loving the big Cole coming over. Just around, we've talked about who departs. Lot to like about the Scorchers, and I reckon you might be onto something there. Certainly with Bairstow's name conspicuously left out there.
Strange. Now the champions.
Now the champions. So Sydney Sixers winning last year. They also won the very first iteration, and they've been runners-up in a couple through the middle there. Coached by Greg Shepherd. There's some good names in here. Just run us through sort of your analysis on who stands out to you.
Yeah, I didn't know Jake Ball was coming over. He's played Test Match cricket for England before, but yeah. I think some of the main names is probably Brathwaite. He hit Ben Stokes to win the T20 World Cup final for four sixes in a row. And so that's a big name. I think Dan Christian is probably one of the best T20 players in the world overall. Yeah. Is that not only on field, but off field. He's just so strategical, so knowledgeable about the game. That's a massive one. I'll be interested to see how Jason Holder goes, the big West Indian captain. Personally think he'll go okay, but I also think that he could cop some serious tap.
Yeah. In this version of the format and at his sort of gentler pace and big height, people could be getting under him and hitting him quite a ways.
I think so, yeah. And then you've got obviously the James Vince and Josh Phillippe who are going to be key batters this year for them. But then you've also got Steve O'Keefe, who's probably one of the cagiest left-arm spin bowlers in the country still. So
great.
It's a good team. It's not probably an absolute names are coming out on paper, but it's more of a well-balanced people do their own role kind of team. And you know what? That won them it last year, so it's done
absolutely
well with them.
Yeah. They've got plan executors, don't they? You know, Momo's in there, Moses Henriques. Dan Hughes, just a consistent churner of runs in all formats in Australian domestic cricket. Benny Menenti, I'd like to see a bit more of him this year. Sock, a little bottle. Felipe and Vince as the stroke makers in the hopefully what is in the higher order, I like a lot. Even like Jordan Silk, he's found a way to take his sort of cautious approach as a shield cricketer and make something of it as something of a...
Yeah,
a bit of a finisher.
His fielding helps as well. One of the best fielders in Australia by a long way.
Some of the catches he's taken. So there's a lot to like about it. But like you say, it's missing perhaps some of the X factor. But there's a lot of experience here, particularly homegrown experience. Also good to see Dwarshis. I hope he's shaved that moustache off by now. But I suspect it's going to be there.
He's quite good, isn't he? He bowls 140-kilometre in-swingers. So, it's a good team.
He's got a neat little record. I'll just try and grab that quickly before we move through to the outgoings and then the next side. 56 T20s. And from what I can see, he might have played one or two games for Kings 11 Punjab. But most of them for Sydney Sixers, 61 wickets at 25, taking a wicket every 19 balls. So he's certainly serviceable. and you know, he keeps getting better by the year. So they lose Tom Curran, who is a big loss. He also bats really well at Big Bash level, takes a stack of wickets, goes for a few runs, but that's his jam. Daniel Fallons, Joshy Hazlewood, and Smudge all dropping out.
Interesting. Yeah, it'll be even like Marnus and things like that, is that they'll end up getting replaced anyway. That's what happens with them players. So I don't even understand why sometimes they even have a contract. It's just pointless.
Yeah, exactly. Give it to some youngster.
Exactly, yeah. Like they never play, so.
No. And finally, on to Sydney Thunder. Last season, it says challenger. Was it all Sydney final, was it?
No, the Stars made the final last year. I think that meant the challenger, maybe the semi final or something like that.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Bizarre naming.
Yeah, that's odd. Coached by Shane Bond.
Really like that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's awesome. Names that stand out to you?
Going through it just quickly, I think it's very similar to the Sixers, is that you've obviously got a Billings, you've got an Alex Hales, and they could absolutely blow up a Khawaja. But overall, I think it's similar. I think it's not a team that's going to be X-Factor-ish, but it's going to be a team where people play their roles and you just never know where they can get to.
Absolutely, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Sam Billings, he's come a long way in the last sort of 12 months as an English cricketer and had a lot more opportunities than indeed took them. Alex Hales, for whatever the fractious relationship is between him and the remainder of the English team, remains a barnstorming player. Adam Milne, he was in and around the NZ team for a while, bowls absolute wheels.
He does bowl quick.
I love Arjun Nair. Alex Ross, Mr. Sweep Shot. Danny Sams, you know. Yeah, I like it. Jason Sunga, Tanvir. Is he related to Jason? Or is that just a similar, same last name?
I don't think so. No, he's not. Because I think Jason's a Newcastle boy. So I think he's by himself. But I almost think it's a little bit similar to the Renegades. Is that they've got players like Jilk, Sanger, the Sangers, Baxter Holt. They've got player, young, good players. Even Oliver Davis. I don't know if you saw him, but he, in the Aussie 19 stuff of last year or the year before, he absolutely brained him in some of the games.
Oh, that's awesome. And he really is a young fella then.
I think he might be 19 or 20. So they're full of youth, but they've also got some experience. Like Ferg's going around again, which is really good. And yeah,
that's huge for them.
Yeah. I think both Sydney teams are going to be that team around middle of the pack. They'll win some games. They'll lose some games to X-Factor teams, and they'll probably be in and around finals, but I'd be surprised if either of them won it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that assessment, just based on looking at the squads. And to round out the Thunder, out of last year's squad, Liam Bowe, that brings tear to my eye in the same sort of vein.
Little Bowie.
Clive Rose, he's done some good things, and I really like him. Jay Lenton, Chris Morris, and Gurinder Sand, who moves across from Sydney Thunder to Sydney Sixers. It starts later today. I'm really
it does,
excited.
Yeah, wow.
Well, at the time of recording this anyway. And so I'm really excited to see how it goes. And I suppose beyond everything, I just hope for plenty of close games of cricket and plenty of high quality games of cricket. I'd love the average score to be north of 160. And I'd love for games to go down into the last over regularly, just so that there's that constant level of excitement and performing under pressure that often can determine young careers and can justify older careers and, can really lift the overall temperature of cricket and add to it being an awesome summer of cricket in Australia after the crazy year that everyone's had.
You're right, mate, isn't it? It's one of them things that you come home from work at night and you go, the Big Bash is on, beautiful. And I think it brings people a bit closer together. We do the franchises really well in Australia, and it also, you're right, it can give blokes careers and longevity in the game by doing well. Some of them get picked for Australia, and it's a great spectacle. I'm probably on the more on the fence around, I reckon it's a little bit too long as of last year. And coming back, the players were also saying they thought it was too long as well. So
yeah,
I'd like it to probably be a couple of weeks shorter. But in saying that, it's still a great spectacle. And like you said, it's on tonight. It's crept up on us and I can't wait to watch it.
Massively so. And I agree that it goes for too many days. The stat nerd in me loves the richness of having 14 games per player. You know, a young player like Max Bryant, when he departs this series, could have, you know, 14 more games of statistics to analyze. But I'd like more double headers and a shorter time span. But I agree that it needs to be shorter. And if that means slicing a few games, then so be it as well. But yeah, it should be great, mate. And I'm very much excited to get things underway this evening and to see how it turns out. Let's see how close we get come business end.
Well, let's try and get this one out as soon as possible, and then we can give your viewers as well a chance to pick who wins a comp, and who knows, let's see who gets it right.
Absolutely. We'll let them weigh in ASAP on the post. And once again, Guy, thanks so much for tuning in and for all your excellent insight as a past professional cricketer who knows quite a lot of the names we rattled off here. And it's incredible to have you involved, mate. And so thanks so much.
No, I'm loving it, mate. It's always a pleasure and looking forward to game one.
Indeed. All right, mate. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good, mate. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Cheers, mate.